Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The Tennis Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network are presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. And welcome, everybody, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Scott Reichel, and joining me for this episode is nobody, as it's going to be another solo pod, and I'm going to go through the finals in Sofia and Tel Aviv taking place on Sunday, October 2nd. First of all, to actually go through the picks on how we did last week, we actually did very well, and hopefully we'll do even better on Sunday because we have a couple of outrights that are still live. But starting off with the actual recap from the lock and dog, we ended up winning the dog. We had Verdasco on the money line against Basilashvili at around plus 118, and he won in straight sets. Kind of the exact thing that I expected to happen in the overall match. I thought they'd be competitive, but I thought Basilashvili would commit too many errors and Verdasco would just keep the ball in play and eventually Basilashvili would self-destruct. That happened as he won 7-6, 7-5. As for the lock, we actually had an underdog. We had Lazarov plus four games against Musetti, and it really should have cashed. Lazarov won the first set. He was serving for the match at 6-5, got broken, then lost in the breaker, but it's fine because we still have about three games to play with for the win, four games to play with for the push. All he has to do is not get absolutely killed in the third set, and he did. Ended up losing the third set 6-2, so he ended up pushing in that one. But he served for the match on the second set, which made it extremely rough. But either way, a push, I guess, is better than a loss, but pretty unfortunate we didn't sweep. So still a winning episode for the lock and dog portion, and hopefully we'll get another winning day here in the lock and dog portion coming up for Sunday. But I do have to go through the outrights and how those did. And knock on wood, very, very well, because there are three tournaments. We're only going to cover two of them because, unfortunately, the one in South Korea is going to start in roughly a minute. So we're not going to have time to cover that. We'll cover Sofia and Tel Aviv. In the South Korea tournament, I ended up taking Nishikori. Nishioka. I took Nishioka to win the tournament at 12-1. And as for Sofia, I had Rune to win the tournament at 12-1. And I have Djokovic to win in Tel Aviv. But if you remember last week, we had Bublik to win at 20-1, and he lost in the final. Which means that so far, regardless of how these matches turn out, we have had four straight ATP tournaments where we correctly picked at least one guy who made the final in the outright. Now, unlike Bublik, I hope some of our guys actually win so we can actually win some outrights. But the point is, we have a dog in every single overall final match. Nishioka, who is a slight underdog there against Shapovalov, who is, you know, rightfully favored. I understand why Shapo's favored, but Nishioka's around plus 150, which is doable. Rune is minus 200, and Djokovic is around minus 500. We'll get into the actual breakdowns for those matches anyway. But point is, we have two separate 12-1 shots and Djokovic at minus 200. So hopefully we cash at least one. Hell, let's cash them all. So very good overall episode. But since it is officially time to get into the actual match breakdowns for Sofia and for Tel Aviv, we'll start off in chronological order, going through the Sofia match first. But before we do that, we're going to have a quick word from our sponsors. Thinking of joining WynnBET? Now is the perfect time because new customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. Plus, the WynnBET Casino is always open 24 hours a day, where you can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. WynnBET is live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. Plus, WynnBET has their own same-game parlay feature. Just click on the game that you like, select build your own bet, and start building a monster parlay. parlay. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in a state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're also brought to you by PromoGuy.us. PromoGuy.us is the best place to go if you're interested in plus EV betting strategies. They've got daily updates on odds boosts and huge cash bonuses from all the major sports books. And they've got a VIP Discord group that puts even deeper plus EV analytics right at your fingertips. I gotta say, we've been looking at their daily promo updates, and they are some of the most informative in the game. They don't simply tell you what team is expected to win. They also tell you where you can get the best odds and how to track down and cash in big on constantly changing promotions. If you're not already using mathematical models to help you with your picks, you are missing out on an insanely valuable tool. And the best part of all is that Promo Guy is run by a small team of passionate sports fans dedicated on building a well-informed, better betting community. Go to promoguide.us and check out their 100% tracked, transparent, and proven methods for betting smarter. So make sure you check out promoguide.us. Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. We just finished recapping how we did in the last episode and how many outrights we actually have left for the Sunday matches. But time to actually get into the matches themselves. Starting off in Sofia, you have Rune taking on Husor, and Rune is the favorite at around minus 200. And to go through the actual path for each player in this event, Rune has had a bit of a battle. He ended up beating Van Rithoven in straight sets, 7-6, 7-6, and then went three sets every other step of the way. Ended up beating Sonego in three, beat Avashka in three, and beat Sinner technically below three because Sinner retired down 5-2 in the third. But let's be real, Rune basically won in three. So he's definitely had a lot of mileage. But luckily for him, Husor's also had a couple of long matches. He ended up winning in the first round relatively easily, 6-4, 6-4, then upset Karenia Busta in three sets, and then ended up winning in the next round in three sets as well with two breakers in there, and then he ended up beating Musetti 7-6, 7-5 in the semis. So for this overall match, it's a very, very intriguing one to go through the head-to-head. Husor did beat him on clay in Bastad earlier this year, but it was clay, so I'm not sure if you can really take anything away from the match in particular. But I do think it makes sense that Rune is favored, especially since it does seem like he's the more comfortable player on hard court. Nothing against Husor. I think Husor is a good player. But I also want to just look at the overall consistency with regard to competition, and Rune has definitely beaten the tougher guys. Van Rithoven, we know, is a pretty decent player. Sonego just won a title last week. Avashka, we know, is solid, who was able to push Sinner to the brink in the U.S. Open, and then he beat Sinner, and Sinner was the favorite in the tournament. Husor did beat Busta, but his second-best win is arguably Musetti, so I understand why Rune's favorite is also the higher-ranked player, so that definitely makes sense. Of course, I'm rooting for Rune, because if he ends up winning this match, I cash a 12-1 ticket. But I do think this match will be a bit of a marathon because of the fact that Husor is a good server, and he also sprinkles in serve and volley. I like the fact that Husor is willing to experiment on his serve to keep Rune a little bit off guard. We know Rune isn't exactly a great server. He's not atrocious, but the point is he can definitely get himself into trouble, and Husor is a pretty solid overall groundstroke player. The point is that Husor can also charge the net and really shorten points when needed. Now, the total in this match is around 23.5, or 22.5. It's 22.5 at minus 135, and the 23.5 is plus 110. If you want to go for three sets, that is plus 145, and the games is Rune -2.5 at minus 115. So to go through the overall thoughts for the match, it's going to be a very, very competitive battle. I think Husor will have moments. I think Rune is going to have moments as well. I do like the over in this match. I think 22.5 is too low, especially since we have seen Husor go to a fair share of tiebreakers in this event. He has gone to three breakers, and he also had a 7-5 set in there. But you're looking at Rune, and he has gone to three sets in each of the last three matches, and the first round was 7-6, 7-6. So Rune has gone over this number in each of his first four matches in the tournament, and I do think that you'll end up seeing a bit of a war breakout between these players. Now, I don't think the Clay matchup means anything, but you can argue that for Husor, just mentally, he might be a little bit less intimidated in an ATP final because he has beaten this guy in the past, but I'm not going to read too much into it. I do think it'll be a very good match, a very competitive match. I do think eventually, I think whoever wins, wins in three. I just think it's going to three sets. I think it's going to be a battle. I picked Rune before the tournament because I just liked what I saw, and I do think that he's a little bit more explosive as an athlete. Now, occasionally, he can get in his own head, and he's a little bit, I'd say, prone to some temper issues throughout the course of a match, but I do think Rune probably pulls it out in three. It's going to be very close. I don't think Rune should be minus 225. I think this matchup should be closer to minus 140 or so. So I think the value is actually on Husor. I just don't think he's going to win. I think Husor on the games makes sense, especially if Rune gets broken early. He might punt the set. But I do like the over 22.5 for games, and I do like the over 2.5 sets. I think you'll see a long marathon match unfold for the title. But to go through the Tel Aviv match, you have Cilic taking on Djokovic, which was kind of the matchup we all expected, with Djokovic being the one seed and Cilic basically being the two. Cilic was in a little bit of a dicey situation there in the first round against Team, ended up dropping the first set, but he rallied and dominated the final two sets to win that one in three. Since then, though, Cilic has really kind of had an easy go of it because he was supposed to play Brody in the second round. Brody didn't show up, and Cilic walked over, and then he ended up winning in the semis 7-5, 6-3, and it was a competitive match. Cilic ended up winning. He was the pretty huge favorite going in, but still nice job by him. And Djokovic has rolled for the most part, beat Andy Hart in straight sets, beat Pospisil in straight sets, and beat I'm going to learn that name at some point just to get it officially right, but Safulin, I'm going to go with Safulin on this one, and he beat him in straight sets. So Djokovic has looked as good as advertised. That's why I picked him to win the event. He'd be a massive favorite in every single round, and he'd probably just dominate, and that's what's happened. But Cilic, even though he has made it this far, he played one less match because of the walkover, and he has had moments, particularly in the first set, where he has been vulnerable. And to go through the head-to-head, unlike the Husor and Rune matchup, these guys have seen each other a lot, and it has been very, very one-sided because Djokovic has won 18 of the 20 career meetings. Cilic ended up winning back-to-back meetings, actually, in the Paris Masters in 2016, won in straight sets, and then ended up playing in Queens for the final in 2018, and Cilic won on grass in three. Djokovic has won every other event that they've ever had or every other matchup that they've had, so I'm just assuming Djokovic is going to win. It's really tough to pick against him. Cilic is still a good player, don't get me wrong, but he's definitely not as reliable with his individual strokes as he used to be. It seems like his forehand hits a few too many unforced errors. Djokovic still has the movement, still has the overall just defensive ability, and I do think eventually Cilic is going to struggle to really keep the unforced error count low. I think Djokovic keeps the ball in play, and I think Cilic eventually will just hand over a bunch of free points, and you really can't do that against Novak. So I'm going to go with Djokovic. Shocker, I'm taking the best player in the world to win against Cilic. But to go through the actual game and the total and even the money line here, Djokovic minus four games is minus 125. The money line is minus 500, and the over-under is 21.5. Now, the total is interesting because you're basically banking on a breaker. You're asking if you think Cilic can do enough in order to actually hold serve six times in a row. That's how I kind of feel like this is going to go. If you want to predict three sets, you can. But I think Djokovic probably wins in three. Djokovic probably wins in two. You might get a breaker, but it wouldn't shock me if it was 6-4, 6-4. So I think I'm actually leaning to the under in this one. Even with a breaker, it is still possible for Djokovic to win a set 6-2. So I do think that it is still doable for Djokovic to just start off a bit slow, win the first set in a breaker, and then dominate in the second set. So I think that's definitely a possibility, but I'm not picking Cilic to win. I went this far with Djokovic minus 200. I thought he'd be a massive favorite in every round. He has been a huge favorite. He's minus 500 against Cilic. I'm not picking against Joker, but four games does seem right. I said 6-4, 6-4, which is literally a push. So I think I kind of have to at least ignore the side here. I am going to lean to the under. Djokovic 2-0, I think, is appealing if you want to take Djokovic in straight, because I do think that he's going to end up winning probably in straight. If Cilic wins a set, good for him, but I don't really see that happening. As this match unfolds, I just think Djokovic is too fundamentally sound, and Cilic still hits too many unforced errors. But Djokovic in straight sets is roughly minus 190, which is pretty juicy, and I'm not sure I really want to bother. It's tough. I do think, at the end of the day, Djokovic will probably win in straight sets, but for the total, I am going to the under, and I'm going to hope that Djokovic, in his first ATP final in a while, just takes care of business and just basically dominates from start to finish. So, other than that, though, just to quickly go through my actual thoughts for who's going to win the matches, I'm going with Rune in three. I think it's going to be very, very close. I really don't feel great about picking Rune, because I do think that Husor can bring some unique intangibles to the overall match. But if you want to try to extract some value from the favorite there, I don't think Rune should be minus 210, for the record. I've said that before. But I do think Rune, if you want to pick him to win in three is roughly plus 310. I think that has some value to it. So that's kind of where I'm leaning for the Rune match. I hope he wins anyway for the 12-1. And I'm going with Djokovic to win, because I think he's just a much better player than Cilic. And when you've won 18 of the 20 meetings, it's pretty tough to go against you. But other than that, though, time for the actual lock and dog segment. But before we do that, we're going to have another quick word from our sponsor. We're also brought to you by No House Advantage. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick'em contests versus other people for a shot at winning $250,000 in cash. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb the leaderboard for your shot to win big money every day. You can also test your skills versus the house and 20 times your entry if you hit all of your picks. Bet on up to 5 player props, over-unders, or individual player matchups across every major sports league, including the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, it's also where you play. And you don't want to miss out on this. Sign up with promo code SGPN at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app to get a first deposit match up to $25. If you're like me and there's a foreign language that you regret not learning in school, it is never too late to start with Babbel. Babbel is the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons, you can finally cross learning that new language off your list. With Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson, and you can start having real-life conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Other languages are definitely extremely difficult to learn if you're not going to be using some type of platform, and Babbel makes it as easy as possible to try to learn it in a relatively efficient way. I've started to try to learn some French, and so far it has been working out well for me. Still a work in progress, but definitely getting there as we move forward. With Babbel, though, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Babbel also has speech recognition technology to help you improve your pronunciation and accent. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. And if you join right now, you can get up to 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/SGP. That's babbel.com/SGP for up to 55% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life. Also brought to you by OddsTrader. What is OddsTrader? It's a place where you can compare odds from all the major sports books in one convenient location. You can compare the different sign-up codes and promotions from sports books to get the best deal. The app also gives you player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, and projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker so bettors can keep track of their records on all the games and their betting activity. Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire and OddsTrader, the number one site for all of your game day bets. We're also brought to you by the Elias Game Plan app. Did you know that the best day of the week is actually Monday and Thursday and Sunday? Because it's NFL season and it's our favorite time of the year. And whether you're in the fantasy leagues, betting on your team, or you just want to talk about some highlights around the water cooler at work, the NFL season just got a lot better thanks to the Elias Game Plan app, the ultimate sports betting and fantasy companion for the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB. The Elias Game Plan app is the only sports app from the most trusted name in sports stats, the Elias Sports Bureau, the official statisticians of U.S. pro sports leagues. Elias Game Plan is full of information and insights provided from their renowned research team, which means they constantly give you information that is up to date and that you can trust. The app gives you everything you need to gain a competitive edge, whether it involves head-to-head team comparisons ahead of their matchups, along with Elias key insights from the Elias statisticians, including injury impact analysis, or they also give you expert game analysis, which can give you the advantage in betting, picking your fantasy lineups, and showing off your sports knowledge. And Elias Game Plan also is releasing new features all the time, including a chat function, so you can actually chat directly with their researchers. And the Elias Game Plan app has been very useful for me when it comes down to the NFL season and trying to track down all of the injuries. It's always tricky trying to navigate through the injury reports. Everyone's listed as questionable. You never actually know who's going to play, but Elias can easily help organize all of the injury information in one convenient location to help you with anything betting or fantasy related for the NFL. And if you want to elevate your NFL season today, download the Elias Game Plan app. That's E-L-I-A-S. And they also have a very special deal right now when you subscribe. Get 15% off your annual subscription, but only if you use the promo code SGPN15. Find the Elias Game Plan sports betting in the App Store or Play Store today and use the promo code SGPN15. We're also brought to you by Fubo TV. If you watch football, you need Fubo TV. Fubo TV gives you complete coverage of college and pro football with NFL Red Zone plus games in 4K at no extra charge. Over 100 channels of live sports and entertainment for a fraction of the price of cable. Watch on all your devices and never miss a game again, or one of your favorite episodes from your favorite TV shows with the included cloud-based DVR. Plus, there's no contract, no commitment, and you can cancel at any time. Right now, you can try Fubo TV free for 7 days and get 15% off your first month. Just go to FuboTV.com/SGP. That's FuboTV.com/SGP. Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. We just finished breaking down the final matches for Sofia and Tel Aviv on Sunday. Now it's time to get into the lock and dog picks. And for my overall lock, I'm going to tell you right now, these plays are going to overlap because, or they should overlap, because I really didn't like anything in that Tel Aviv match. I still think Djokovic is going to win, but it's a little bit too juicy there at minus 190 for him to win it straight. I leaned under, but Chilich can still go to a breaker, and four games feels right for the spread. So I'm going to skip the Tel Aviv match, and I'm going to go with the Sofia match. And for my lock, I am going to go with the over 22.5 games at minus 135. I do think since Rune has gone over in every single match in this event, and Husor has had a couple of three-set matches too, I do know that each player might see a lot of up and downs throughout this game, throughout this match, where you'll see the energy level rise for one player, then dip for that same player later on, and then rise again. I just think you're going to see a lot of ebbs and flows, and I think this match could end up going over in a variety of ways. Could go to a breaker, could be 7-6, 6-4, or even just a couple of 6-2, 6-3 sets, and you end up in a three-set marathon, and it goes over anyway. But I do think 22.5 games seems a little bit low. I think that each player will have moments, and I think that they're going to cancel each other out. Give me the over 22.5 games there at minus 135 in the Husor-Rune match for my lock. And for my dog, I'm basically going to double down on the same play. I'm going to go with Husor and Rune over 2.5 sets at plus 145. Kind of just what I explained. I'm not going to fully repeat everything. But I do think that Rune, especially with him mentally, his game can be very, very streaky. And I think that he can come out, punch Husor in the mouth, and then I think eventually his level might waver. But I do think you'll see a very competitive match. Husor is going to try to make it difficult to get broken with the serve and volley approach, with the kicker with the second serve. He's very crafty, and I do think, as a result, Rune might struggle early on to actually break serve, and Husor could get off to a fast start. But Rune, I do think, is going to really dictate how this match plays out because of his movement and because of his strokes. If he doesn't self-destruct and doesn't get in his own head, I do think Rune could end up winning this match in maybe a very competitive 2 or a very competitive 3. But I am going to give Husor some props. I do think that he's good enough to win a set, and I'm going to pick it. I think plus 145. Sounds like fair odds, maybe a little bit high. I think it probably should be closer to plus 130 in this match. But since I like the over, I am going to also take the over in sets at plus 145. So once again, my lock's going to be on Husor Rune over 22.5 games at minus 135, and my dog is going to be on Husor Rune over 2.5 sets at plus 145. But that's been this episode of the Tennis Gambling Podcast. We'll be back at some point next week to talk about Tokyo, as there is a pretty big tournament taking place in Japan. But until next time, you can find me on Twitter at Raishou Radio. We're also going to be back for Kazakhstan, which I might have forgotten to mention as well. But you can find me on Twitter at Raishou Radio. Besides that, still on a bunch of other pods, doing the NFL podcast a couple times a week, so check that out. Also doing fantasy football podcasts, doing the NBA gambling podcast. I know we're having a couple episodes for next week, going through more divisions. So if you want some NBA futures, check out that show as well. And a couple others, of course, this one. But other than that, though, we'll be back once again in a couple of days. Good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.